All right, gang, and welcome to the latest Red 5 Ghost Transmissions episode, where we will be talking the latest episode of Star Wars Rebels. Oh, always two there are. Boy, that sounds familiar, don't you think? I am your host, Davidson, and no, there isn't just two there are, not this season anyway. With us is... you know, Matt Clifton, everyone's favorite little Florida-bound Minock, and Kyle Wagner. Guys, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Another great episode of Rebels to talk about.
Oh, yes, yes. All right, so, okay, can I just say right off the bat, I'm loving every single episode of Season 2 so far. Mostly because, you know, Rebels has kind of become best of both worlds. You know, if you'll pardon the Star Trek expression, where you have, you know, a little Clone Wars flavor and you have a little Rebels flavor.
That's a really good point there. Yes,
Dave is definitely using it as your bridge.
Yes, yes, very much so. Kind of like how, you know. Oh, another certain Star Wars thing is going to be a bridge between, well, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that on another show, but still, that's going to be a bridge too, so. And not an Ezra Bridger, people. All right, so, I will say the one moment that made me smile, and guys, I think you'll agree, is Old Man Rex. Yes, I'm using my comic book love here. I'm not calling him Captain Rex. I'm calling him Old Man Rex.
Yeah.
But Old Man Rex and Kanan are playing holo chess.
And Rex basically turns it into a training exercise for Kanan.
Oh, yes. Because Rex has never lost that training edge.
Well, definitely teaching him a lesson or two.
Yeah. You think that's why they left the other two behind? Because, well, you know, Wolf and Gregor, especially crazy off-the-wall Gregor, they just don't need leaders.
Someone's got to fix the tank. Well, I mean, the question is, cause have they actually said that they were left behind? I mean, maybe that's just they're playing up Rex and the guys are off doing other things within the fleet.
That's a good point.
Well, I know, but I expected to see them on that same bridge.
I don't know. I think Rex is the key focal point here.
Absolutely.
I think they're trying not to overload it at the moment because they're going to be doing that later in the season.
Yeah. Not too many Clone Wars folks all together.
Not too many things cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah, too many cooks.
We've got in simmer mode at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sorry, gang. I love Clone Wars, but we already had a show that had a little too many cooks in the kitchen. So, you know, if we can go from high-level cooking back to simmering, yeah, well, I don't think anyone can argue that.
Well, and bringing up your point, I think if this is how they're planning to use Rex with the crew, I think it's great. I think this is the perfect role for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so Kanan wants to take Ezra through an interesting training exercise. He's going to levitate Chopper.
Or so he thinks.
Well, yeah, Chopper makes it a little bit interesting for him. But what I want to bring up here is, okay, when do we get the episode where Kanan is resting comfortably on Ezra's feet?
What?
I'm just saying, you know, that seems to be a training milieu, you know. A master has to rest on the Padawan's feet.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Think Empire.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, I'm surprised my little Minock missed that.
It's been a long day.
Oh, that's all right, Matt. That's all right. We're just glad to have you back from the clutches of real life.
Oh, there's some clutches, too, let me tell you.
Oh, that's another podcast discussion altogether.
One of the things I like with that particular scene, too, is, and it, again, you go back to what you just said about Rex. Here's Rex actually giving a training moment to Ezra in that scene.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, Rex, we just had two episodes pretty doused in Old Man Rex. But Rex is almost like he's barely in this.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree with you, Kyle. When we see Rex, and even at the previews for the next episode, he's kind of like, he's that mentor. He's seen it all and all that, but he's also kind of like taking a back seat a little bit, but he's just loaded with wisdom, and he's the sage, kind of like, right?
Yeah. I kind of see that. One of the observations I have, and we'll address it more if we get into some more details of the episode. Am I the only one who's worried about Keenan's mental state right about now?
What, that he actually had to play nice with the people that killed his master?
No, you know, you're kind of right on that. It is a little worrisome because he's in a position that he doesn't like at all. And with the Inquisitors coming down on him now, it's the pressure's on, and it doesn't look like he's doing too well under it. So, yeah.
Well, as we do get later into the episode, I want to bring up a point about something that was said to Ezra in the episode.
All right.
That I think is a kind of a key factor to be brought up, and it really wasn't necessarily a. It's kind of been that unsaid thing all through season one and so far through season two, but it finally gets said in this episode.
Well, I have a feeling that although wisdom that Rex dispenses is kind of. Let's just say I don't think it's all going to go well for Ezra.
I think Ezra is going to take some of these Rex suggestions and Rex wisdom and maybe take them in a different direction than what was intended.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also, I just want that moment when Rex talks about the old Jedi he served with. I want that one moment where, you know, Rex recognizes some Vader tactics on the battlefield, and he's just as taken aback as Ahsoka would be.
Yeah, I think that's going to be when they hit that point, that's going to be very interesting, because it's either going to be that or Ahsoka will tell Rex at some point.
Right. Now, Kyle, if you ask me, I think all that, they're going to save that for, like, one of these movies of the week they've been doing.
Well, yeah, I think that confrontation is probably our next summer special movie.
Yeah, I'd be excited either way, don't get me wrong. But I don't think they're just going to limit it to a, what are we getting this year, 22 episodes?
My personal opinion is, I could see this season ending on a cliffhanger leading into the summer special episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, it all connects. I mean, we're calling this one episode 5, because let's be honest, the movie was 1 and 2 for all intents and purposes.
Well, and I'm kind of wondering, and not so much, and I don't think it's quite as drastic, I'm wondering if we're not going to get a little bit of this season, because until Force Awakens comes out, a little bit of S.H.I.E.L.D. syndrome in the aspect S.H.I.E.L.D. had to put so much on hold waiting for Winter Soldier to come out. I wonder if there's things that they got to be careful of how they address it.
Oh, God. Do not say S.H.I.E.L.D. and season one in the same sentence.
I know. I'm using it. It's the best thing I can think of as a comparison.
That's a good analogy. It was.
Yes, but only you, Matt, would defend that first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying
defending the analogy.
Exactly. That, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had to do a bunch of filler episodes, and they couldn't they in order to lead up to the big reveal of Winter Soldier, right? Right,
guys. Well, you know, before we move on, let me just say that, Kyle, I think you're right. But I don't think that's going to be effect with Force Awakens.
I think they have a better plan.
No, Matt, hang on. I think, Kyle, that's going to be in effect more with Rogue One.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. I mean, that's a valid point. Because Rogue One being a lot closer into the time frame.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be, that effect is going to be in play with Rogue One, which would be more in a Rebel Season 3 environment.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just kind of, I think it's a, kind of an unfortunate side effect of the way we have things in the with these big franchises now and so many things tying in together with that. You kind of have to be careful not to step on each other's feet. But I really do think Lucasfilm has it mapped out well enough that it's not going to be a huge issue. But it could be something to where we see something, whether it's in Rogue One or Force Awakens, and going, well, that's why they maybe didn't address that in Rebels.
True. Matt, what do you think?
No, I totally agree. I think, but I also think that they've got everything mapped out pretty much. Yeah, right now.
They at least know what direction they're going. Yeah. I think the biggest question, again, because only Dave probably knows this, depending on what the lifespan of Rebels, the Rebels story is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the key factor in the equation.
Well, I think the lifespan of Rebels is going to be at least into Season 3 just to get... I mean, guys, here's a little speculation for you. What if all the sort of big confrontation and all the stuff we're talking about is more where, you know, our last sort of summer special movie of the week thing is actually Rogue One?
It could very well be.
No, I mean... This would be a curiosity thing. Would we see some Rogue One characters maybe actually make their debut at the end of Rebels?
No. See, Kyle, I like where your head's at there, but I think you're going to see it the other way around. I don't think we're going to see Rogue One characters pop up in Rebels. I think it's going to be the other way around.
I think we're both ways. I think... What you would see is maybe not so much a main character of Rogue One pop in, but there could easily be a secondary character that acts as a bridge between the two shows.
I can see that.
Yes, I'll just say, guys, before we move on into more of the episode, I'll just say that if characters do pop up in Rogue One, you can leave Sabine in her Fruit Loops armor behind.
Yeah, you had to say that, didn't you? Yeah, hey.
I had to get back to you with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comparison, Matt.
Matt, it's more of the poke, you know, with you out hunting for Skywalker the last podcast. He's got to get caught back up, so it's a double whammy this week.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Dive right in.
All right.
Yep. I'm just not a fan of that armor. I'm sorry. Or that hair.
Anyways,
and Kyle, I believe you said the same about that hair yourself.
About the blue hair?
I'm not as fan. I like your hairstyle last season compared to this season.
Yeah, last season it was at least a bit more. Yeah,
she's like Ramona Flowers. She changes her hair every season.
All right, you Sabine lover, knock it off. All right. Kyle, why don't you take us through a summary of this week's episode?
Well, absolutely. So we're probably a few weeks after the events of last episode. Everybody's traveling together. We get a little, as we discussed, a little bit of a training moment for Ezra. And then, which kind of leads into Dad and Grandpa having a fight over...
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Over this question of Ezra's training.
Dad and Grandpa, yes.
But yes. Which kind of leads, during the same point, Hera comes in with permission for Zeb, Chopper, and Sabine, which Ezra kind of just assigns himself to as well, to get the heck out of Dodge. Who can really blame him?
Right. He wants to get the... if Grandpa is arguing with Kanan, I want that moment where, Rex is telling Kanan to lose his soul patch.
You got a shame, boy.
No! Trim those sideburns.
No, you would be telling Kallus that, for God's sake.
No, those sideburns stay.
You know, Kallus, Kallus is the future Logan, so.
No, please, no.
So, as our interesting grouping of rebels with basically no real leader member of the team.
Yeah, there is no.
I mean, unless we go by, last episode of Captain Ezreal, but head out to go pick up some medical supplies at an old secret clone location, which...
It was med base.
Med base. And as we come up to it, we discover it's an old med base. Leads us to them boarding, and we kind of start seeing, I think, really some interesting character development with some of our crew. I think one of the things of this episode I really liked was the doubt we see in Zeb.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Real good point.
They arrived to the quote unquote abandoned medical station. Of course, we're close to Halloween, so it's a little dark. It's a little spooky.
Love those shadow effects.
Yes, very well. Yeah.
Well, the environment to me felt like I was watching Ridley Scott's Alien.
Was it Alien or more Aliens?
I'm going to say more.
No, I will say Alien. I'm sorry. I love James Cameron, but I have been mad at him ever since he disappeared into Valley of the Smurfs.
Which he will never return from.
And apparently those will never come out.
There's that too. But no, I would lean with you there. A little more Alien. You kind of have the derelict.
Good point.
And so, of course, Zeb and Ezra have to get into their basically teenager competition.
Yep. Well, we have to. I think that moment was important, Kyle. And correct me if you think otherwise. Was you needed that moment to kind of, add a little humor to how spooky and eerie the environment was?
Kind of keep it light a little bit. There's a little bit of lightheartedness, I think that was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
You didn't want to get it too dark.
No, you don't want to all of a sudden have rebels go all Mortis on you.
Yeah. You know, which kind of brings me to a thought process I had when I was watching this. If they keep having episodes where they go to these abandoned locations and stuff like that, what are they? There's going to be some stuff that these guys are going to discover that they probably don't necessarily want to know about. Like, just maybe some stuff with the clones, with maybe some stories of Ahsoka, you know?
Okay.
All right. Know, there could be some information in one of these bases that's more trouble than it's worth. Let's put it that way.
That'd be a good episode.
But
You got me thinking, boys.
Hey, it's what we're here for.
Yeah. That's why I said it wasn't just gonna be me and Minoc for the season.
But so the hunt for the medical supplies is on. Everybody's kind of get the teenage competition. Sabine's being the sister just rolling her eyes at the back, and Chopper's being Chopper.
Yes, yeah.
Right, yeah. Can I just say Chopper's little moment where he gets surprised by that little probe droid thing?
Uh-huh.
Felt like I was watching an episode of Doctor Who. All you needed was Chopper going, exterminate!
I wouldn't put Chopper too far from a Dalek, that's for sure.
They kind of have a similar look.
Yeah, kind of, a bit.
That's when we get to the point, some weird things start happening on the station.
Yeah.
we have our little moment with Chopper.
Yeah, before we go too far, let me just say, a Dalek, that was my that was one way I thought Chopper was originally going to look.
Like the Dalek?
Yeah, I thought it would be cool if it looked more like that and went away from the sort of R2 astromech droid look.
I think you just can't mess with some traditions. I mean, we're getting a new look for a droid, definitely, with BB-8.
Yes, we're getting the kitten.
Yeah.
With the really cute little ball of yarn.
Man, who knows what's in that ball? That my ball might not be so cute.
I don't want to go there.
All right.
So this leads us to Chopper having his moment with these crazy little probe droids.
Yeah.
And Ezra kind of gets, the gang kind of gets a little separated, which, you know, typical. Let's be in the dark, spooky place, and let's separate.
Typical white boy strategy in a horror movie.
You know, I mean, didn't they watch Scream?
It's on Disney XD, kids, so no.
True. So, as Ezra is going through his little search, he has an encounter I don't think anybody was expecting.
Buffy the Jedi Slayer.
Yes. Hey, gentlemen, I think what this is a monumental occasion for Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. You do realize for the conventions from here to infinity and beyond, little Disney pun, we can ask of Freddie and Sarah the immortal question of, okay, Jedi or Vampire Slayer? Please discuss. I mean, record it, mark it, timestamp it. That is going to be a question for the ages.
Well, I guess it'll be more of Sith Vampire Slayer. Really?
Well, either one. Yeah. I mean, I know she's an Inquisitor, but she has all the characteristics of a Sith. She comes in like a viper cat, playing with her prey and not killing it.
Well, I will say this. The way they establish... Well, a couple of things. One, I don't know if you guys kind of caught it, but there seemed to be a lot of people who weren't real thrilled at first with how they handled her voice. They thought it was a little too...
I liked her voice. What are you talking about?
I've read some comments on the internet where a few people felt...
Your first mistake.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm just saying, I personally didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was a good thing that you couldn't... it was not really... Her voice wasn't recognizable right out of the gate.
All
right. You kind of had digitized it up, wearing the mask. And
Guys, I got a confession. I spent too many years watching Buffy. They can't sneak that voice past me.
Well, I'm in the same boat when we know what's coming. But a lot of... I think it was good that... What they did, a lot. Some people didn't like it. I think they were expecting to hear Buffy's voice coming out.
Oh, okay. So they didn't expect for her to be kind of like garbled a little bit
garbled.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we have no idea what she's been through or what she's done. If she did that to her voice herself or what? But yeah. Okay.
So, but I will say this right out of the gate: scariest Inquisitor yet.
God, are you kidding me? Like I said, just the way she moved, like from the crouch, and then it's like she never really stood up straight the entire time. She was always in a crouch.
And this is even before we really even had a feel for her.
Yeah, and she just looked like what you would get if you combined a dangerous cat with a very dangerous snake.
Oh, God, yeah. She actually, you know what, I'm going to borrow from Harry Potter for a minute, but she looks like some den mother of Slytherin.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head
Bellatrix.
With that one.
Bellatrix.
Yeah, well, even scarier than Bellatrix.
Well, but that kind of crazy.
Yeah, but contained, not as crazy as Bellatrix.
Maybe the guys, maybe the scary of Bellatrix combined with the fearsome of Jaws.
Okay.
But
now, how's that for a comparison?
Okay,
I just know this. I'm not messing with it.
I'm actually, you know, let's put it this way. If I went out with that character, I'd be like, it's okay, honey. I'll buy dinner for the next 100 years. It's fine.
But this leads us, of course, to Ezra actually being very smart about this and saying, I need to get the heck out of Dodge, and I need to do it yesterday.
Yeah.
Of course, during his escape, he runs into Sabine, and then they run into our other new friend.
Yes.
Who we actually saw in last week's episode.
Yep. Now, can I say these two, the seventh sister and the fifth brother, I had no idea the Inquisitors were by number only, but these two reminded me of the Kryptonian Bruisers from Superman 2 days.
I can see that comparison. With them, which would make Vader General Zod.
Yeah, I guess so. Although I can't see him being like, Neil.
Now, here's a question regarding their numbers, seventh sister and fifth brother. Now, is the number there just the way that they are, the way they came or became Inquisitors, or is the number their ranking?
I would guess the number their ranking. I'm going to go with Sarah and go, they should have called her number one.
Well, this brings up an interesting point, because as we get into one of the conversations a little later in the episode, there's obviously a little open competition to be who's in charge of the Inquisitors right now.
Absolutely, with the Grand Inquisitor gone.
Well, yeah, I think the most telling is we learned a bit of the mythology behind Inquisitors.
Oh, I think we're going to learn a lot about Inquisitors this season. This is going to be, we're going to have a lot of reveals about exactly what is up with the Inquisitors this season.
That's what the bat said.
So, I think the Inquisitors are huge this season. I think more than they are probably the focus of the season as far as our bad villain side goes.
I think we'll only get to see Vader again, like, in the finale.
We might see a pop-up in one episode between now and then, like an end of screenshot or something, like a report to Vader. But yeah, I don't think we see any confrontation with Vader until towards the end of the series. But getting back to the episode, Sabine and Ezra kind of get close to making their escape, and things kind of backfire.
Oh boy, do they. Yeah. I like that. That moment where Zeb and Sabine try to set a trap for the fifth brother. And Matt, you're not going to like me saying this, so feel free to close your eyes or ears. But that moment where, Kyle, you know what I'm talking about, when all the detonators were planted. And it doesn't work, and you see the fifth brother kind of pulling them with the force and flying them back at Zeb and Sabine. I kind of like that, because it's showing that, Sabine's sort of, lame, focus groupy skill really doesn't work.
Actually, not so much that. I think it shows what is it. I mean, I think you could even go back to season one and say this a little bit. Sabine's character flaw, overconfidence.
Yes.
Yes, and very much so.
Which will lead to improvement.
Well, but what
I hope so. You're the only one right now that has hope for Sabine, my crazy little Minoc.
What I did like, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier too, is you almost feel bad for them. at a point, because they just kind of, you know, oh, you're the muscle, you don't have, you don't know anything. Zeb with the self doubts he has and just doesn't think he amounts to much. I mean, it was kind of something we hadn't really seen from Zeb. I mean, we talked about this previously. I think really you're going to see character growth addressed in every episode. This was definitely Zeb's episode as far as major character growth.
Absolutely. But I am glad that with the seventh sister and fifth brother, we did see those crazy, you know, Tron disc/lightsaber things.
Well, and that brings up what I find is a very interesting point. They all have the same weapon.
It's a little different, though.
But, I mean, it's basically the same.
Yes.
Whereas before, when we've seen Sith and Apprentice, they have different styles of weapons.
Well, let's just say nobody has that, you know, J-Ham built saber like that Kylo Ren fella.
Well, what you're saying here, Kyle, is that each lightsaber is different, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but if you, and the Inquisitor lightsaber is basically the same. It's the same style with the disc and all that. But if you look at them, some of the handles on it are a little bit different. And Seventh Sister, hers kind of has kind of like a blade almost like tip that comes out on it.
Yeah.
So there's a little customization. Not much, but just bits.
Because but what I like about it is it really shows them as reflected that they are a group.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't it be cool if the Seventh Sister, she just hits a button and her whole saber lights up into a frisbee and she just throws it at Ezra? I'm just saying. You know, I know Star Wars is a Disney now. Disney tried with Tron. I'm like, come on, Disney, throw them an idea.
So, let me get back. Everybody's captured except for Zeb.
Right. Zeb is stuck in a vent.
Basically.
Missing all the fun.
We have what I thought was an extremely interesting conversation between the Seventh Sister and Ezra. I think they address so many things, either some of it was flat out in your face, so many little subtleties brought up with the way things the Seventh Sister brought up and how she was trying to manipulate Ezra. If you want to go with In Your Face, we know about Ahsoka Tano. Where is she? And Ezra's trying to deny it. The fact you almost kind of get the fit when the Seventh Sister talks about, well, with the Grand Inquisitor then, it's an up for grabs race,
yes,
to be in turn. But you also kind of get the feeling like where the Fifth Brother would just kill Ezra on sight.
Yes.
And that just blunt force. You can almost see where the Seventh Sister, from what she's seen of Ezra already, and probably feels of his power, she wants to turn it and manipulate him for her own purposes.
Which I think we'll see by the end of this run.
I mean, I think it's like that character has got so many. She twists like a snake.
And the only reason, guys, I say we're going to see Ezra turn by the end of Rebels is Kanan was a never sanctioned trained Jedi. He's gonna fail with Ezra harder than Obi-Wan failed with Anakin.
And you just hit up the point that I was talking about earlier. To me, the big thing that's been the unspoken thing through Rebels completely. You realize your master is not a fully trained Jedi.
Yeah, right. Never
exactly
of night. And he's like, yes, I'm aware, but I mean. To me, that's been kind of the unspoken monkey in the room since the show has started.
Yeah.
And when we get kind of to the end of the episode and kind of do a full wrap up, I got some theories, but it's reflective of how this episode ends too, that ties into this. But I mean, that's to me, that's huge. That for them to have finally put that out there. I mean, we knew it was going to come at some point, but to finally address it in the room and have it actually be coming from somebody who's trying to manipulate Ezra or at least give you the impression she's trying to manipulate Ezra. It sets up a whole interesting thing, because you kind of at one point, to me, and it's just maybe in the faceless, but you kind of see Ezra kind of like stopping and thinking for a moment.
Kind of blew my mind there.
yeah. Well, I'm not used to Ezra the thinker.
Yeah, these great points, but I hope that Ezra doesn't turn bad. I'm tired of my good guys turning bad.
Dude, then you better check out now, because you know someone's turning bad in this sequel trilogy.
I know. Go ahead, Kyle.
I don't know if Ezra's gonna turn fully bad, but I think he's definitely going to have that Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi moment where you're kind of feeling like, oh crap.
Yeah.
He's gonna have that moment where he's like, I left pickpocketing for this.
It's like, why is he wearing black? Why is he in the elevator with Darth Vader? Oh no!
Hey, basically, he's wearing the clothes of the kid who was in those Ewok movies.
Yeah. So we have our, let's just say, interrogation of Ezra. And I found kind of interesting was Ezra's trying to play the tough guy, and the minute Sabine is even threatened. Oh, we gotta. Okay, yes, Kanan and Ahsoka. He just like kills guts.
What can I say? You know, he lived by himself. He probably didn't see a woman on Lothal forever, so.
He's concerned about his friends. He doesn't want to see his family killed, slaughtered in front of him. I mean, you saw how he reacted when during the Yoda episode when he saw everybody slaughtered in front of him.
He wants the bean to make him some bedazzled armor. Just say it, Matt.
And then we get to me, which was. I mean, there's so much with this episode, so many little things. Again, going back, the character moment for Zeb—that just really, you see it.
Yeah.
Or should we call him Commander Zeb?
Commander Zeb.
Commander Mailu Run.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I mean,
I could have done without a callback to that sillier episode.
But it's a great moment. I mean, because you really get a side of Zeb we've not seen.
Right.
You know, we've seen major, you know, I'm kind of the big brother annoying guy to Ezra. I'm the muscle of the team.
Yeah.
Zeb using his brain. You see Zeb kind of proving things that Ezra and Sabine and even Chopper have all kind of made fun of him about. And yet he's the one that basically saves him from the frying pan.
Yeah, basically.
And, yeah, I it was a great moment. They made it a little lighthearted, so you got a little bit of fun out of it. And I think you realize, too, in that moment, when they're trying to escape, just how strong the Inquisitors, those two Inquisitors are. Because they're basically holding that ship in place.
Yeah, while she's closing the door.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for some non-Sith, non-real Force users, yeah.
Of course, you know, things have a little distraction here, little action there. Ezra kind of using his brain a little bit. They escape.
Yep.
They get back, and let's just say the news they have to tell Kanan, the tone of the episode just goes into a real dark place really, really quick.
Yeah. Yes. I will say, though, before we wrap the episode up, is even the music set, you know, the tone of where this all was going.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we talked about, last week we talked about how the two-part episode kind of wiped the palette clean. Now we know why they needed to wipe the palette clean.
Oh, yes.
Which brings me to the point I was going to get to. The look of just, I don't want to say horror necessarily, but despair on Kanan's face that he's realizing he is in way over his
way
head.
God, he took the words right out of my mouth.
And it kind of leads me back to my theory for this season. And I feel like I can expand on it a little bit. We are going to get a point where Kanan is going to step away from the team.
Yeah, I agree. Either that or he's dead.
They're not going to kill Kanan, not at this point. What's going to happen is there's going to be some conflict with Kanan, not only with the current situation, but him feeling inadequate. But him, and I have a feeling we are going to get at some point Ahsoka offering to train, finish Kanan's training, but Kanan isn't going to want to do it.
Yep. Well. Kyle, I will just say that I think Kanan already feels inadequate. I mean, Ahsoka showed up.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's all this doubt in Kanan. I think Kanan is going to have... You're going to see him lead the team. We'll probably get one or two of that, at least one episode of a Kanan solo story. Kind of a
Kanan alone story.
Kanan alone story.
I think we're going to get more of that in the Kanan comic book, guys. I really don't think that's going to be in the show.
I think we get one episode of it, and by what I mean is that, I mean, you'll still see the other character, but it's going to be Kanan's going to just take a leave, you know, and it might be that Kanan just gets to go blow off. It's like a blow off the scene kind of thing.
Right.
He gets caught up in self-doubt, and he's like, I'm danger to everybody in my mindset.
Right. No, Kyle, I agree with you. But the only reason I say it's going to be in that Kanan comic book strictly is that, unlike Clone Wars, I really don't think they're going to take the risk of going in a continuing line and then deviate off here to follow another story.
Well, I don't think it's so much a deviation as it is, because it'll wrap up in one episode. It'll be the Kanan growth moment episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, I see, but you gotta agree with me to some point that it's a really tricky balance that you don't, because you can do it, yes, but can you do it in a way where you're not repeating what you did before?
Well, I think you can because of what you're doing, and I think Hera will be involved in that episode very heavy. And I think it will lead to Kanan coming around and working with Ahsoka to get his own training. And Ahsoka's going to basically essentially be trying to train them both. And I think that's where we can start having some issues. Because to me right now, as they've shown, at least tapped into the Force, Ezra's just powerful. He's not more powerful than Kanan. Kanan just has more control and skill with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. She tries to train them both, and then Vader shows up and slaughters them all. The end.
But no, I really think sometime, I'm going to say over the next 5 episodes, we're going to have something major with Kanan.
Oh, so you're guessing by mid-season?
By mid-season. It could even be, if we have a point where there's like a little break for the holidays or something like that.
Which,
you know,
there probably will be, yeah.
That could be like our cliffhangers. Kanan taking leave.
Oh, that's the cliffhanger. That is your cliffhanger.
Oh, the Kanan sojourn.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's inevitable. I think. In fact, you know, we've seen in the trailer some episodes of heavy evolving Ahsoka, and it looks like I think they're going to do in a separate at least one Ahsoka solo story herself.
See, I don't mind that deviation from the linear line because it's Ahsoka.
It's just,
but it could even be, that episode could even be Ahsoka going to look for Kanan. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it's fine, but, you know, Kanan, Ahsoka, are you kidding me?
it's the fine line, and when we talk about this, even last week, we're talking about, you know, having read the Kanan comic and feeling the impact of the moment in the two-parter.
Yep.
But they still did it in a way where if you hadn't read the comic, you still felt the emotion of it.
Oh, they did, yeah.
I think they're going to continue to try to do that, where you know, they know people are out there probably who are watching Rebels or reading the comic, but there are kids who may not be reading the comic for whatever reason. So there's going to be some minor references, but not heavy. I mean, I don't know if you've read the issue of the Kanan that came out this week. I really like the direction they're taking that comic right now.
Yeah, I need to catch up on some of my Kanan issues.
Yeah, once you see the direction they're taking the Kanan comic right now, you'll understand why they can get away with a Sojourn episode for Kanan in the season.
Well, you know, let's just say I'm not hedging my bets right now.
No, and that's I can completely understand that. But what it comes down to is we're headed to some very heavy things happening, I think.
Agreed.
Oh, yes. It's going to make your Disney kids think. Not that we're saying anything bad, but just kind of like, nah, Thingun's good, even for your Disney kids. It's fine.
Well, like I said, I think the tone of the show is going to really take a change over this season.
It is, definitely. And by the end of it, it's not going to look the same at all.
Whereas, like, in Clone Wars, Season 3 was kind of the season that started to change the tone of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
From more kiddie feel of it, lighthearted of it, to the darker, hey, this is war.
Yeah.
I would say, Kyle, and we'll get into that at some point, but I would say that the tone really started to change that show around Mortis.
Oh, I could. But, I mean, this season is going to be definitely the tone changer. I mean, I think this is in the same aspect of Clone Wars where you realize as it goes on, you knew it was going to get a little darker and a little darker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be the same way because you know what we're headed towards.
Right. We're headed towards Rogue One.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. I mean, we're headed towards really probably the darkest time of the rebellion.
Yes.
A la Rogue One.
Yes.
I mean,
it doesn't get much more darker than that. We've had the entire Rogue One plot synopsis right in front of our eyeballs for about 30 years.
Well, like I said, I am very excited for Rogue One. I really think it's going to be that first different kind of Star Wars movie.
The Saving Private Force.
Yeah.
So, and I do think it'll be real interesting because I think Rebels really will set up. You have some younger kids who are watching Rebels now. By the time Rogue One is out, you're going to be a little bit older and be able to experience some of the more adult sides of that are going to hit in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, overall, this episode, what would you give it? Matt, go.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Solid episode. Great characters. Great character moments. Eye-opening moments. Awesome ambience all around. 8 out of 10. Awesome. Puffer Pig not in this episode.
Oh, you just had to paraphrase Jimmy Mac's territory, didn't you?
I had to go there.
Yeah, you had to go there. All right, Kyle, go.
Very strong episode, setting up what I think for the rest of the season is just going to be an amazing story arc involving some incredible new characters. And I think when we go back as a standalone episode, 8 out of 10, but I think when we go back and look at this episode after the season is completed, it'll be a 9 out of 10 because it's going to have so much. You're going to go back to this episode and reference a lot of things.
Yeah, it's going to age like a fine wine.
Yes, like Billy Dee and his Puffer Pig. Okay, I will say this episode, I can't imagine this show getting any better, but we do have that Hondo Onaka.
Oh, Hondo Onaka! Oh, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, apparently Hondo, I guess the rations have dried up since the war. Hondo's looking a little thin.
Yeah, he's not as flamboyant as he's looked in Clone Wars.
No, he's not the Richard Simmons of Weakways.
I am looking forward to that episode. I think what you're going to have in there is you're going to have one of the successful fun episodes of Rebels.
Yes. It's always fun when Hondo is about.
Oh, but that one guy's in it. What's his name? The red guy?
As Morrigan?
Thank you. Yeah. James Hong's character.
Yes. It's gonna be very fun to have James back.
I don't know if I necessarily liked Ez Morgan, but it's all good.
Oh, I liked Ez Morgan. It was fun. It reminded me of if Jabba had a tumor and it grew some feet.
There you go. Oh God.
I know, or... right? Yeah. But he, as I recall, Ez Morgan was an old sketch of Jabba anyway.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Ralph's sketch, yep. I think.
All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. Hope you enjoyed it, gang. You know, us three just talking Star Wars, talking Rebels for all of you and for all of us. So for myself, David Senden, and my two cohorts...
Kyle Wagner,
Matt Clifton.
Stay rebellious.